Day. Yes, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way groweth clearer, for I'm in the glory land way.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to everybody that is here in person and online. My name is Jessica Vaughn, and I'm filling in for my dear friend Steve Sargent today, who is the minister of this church. Welcome to Southwest Central Service. We have some very special items today. Today is Super Bowl of Caring Sunday. So during our offering, we have, as you can see, some soup pots up here. Both our regular offerings and our special offerings for Super Bowl of Caring will both go in those soup pots during the offering time. Just make sure that for your BIM Super Bowl of Caring offerings that you put it in one of those special contribution envelopes. We also have Mr. Glenn Langston here today, who's going to provide our sermon. Welcome, Glenn. And we will continue with service. Everyone online, thank you so much for joining us. Everyone here, we see you, and everyone online, we hear you. If everyone will please stand, I will light the candle, and I will proceed with reading the psalm for this morning. This morning's psalm is Psalm 1. Oh, the joy of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of life and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my goal in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. I know eternal life he gives from sin and sorrow free. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. He wills that I should holy be in word and thought, indeed. Then I his holy face may see when from this earth life freed. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that over yonder stands a place prepared for me. A home, a house not made with hands, most wonderful to see. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, a perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Let's be seated. We now have a time of silent reflection and prayer. We'll take a few minutes to offer our praise to God, carry our concerns to God, to talk with our Father. And after a few moments, I'll close our prayer. Let's pray to God. Father, as this community of believers gathered in your name, hear our prayers. Comfort our sick, Father. Heal those who are wounded in spirit and in body. We love you, Father. Help us to spread your love to others. We love you. We depend on you. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.
This morning's scripture begins with Esther, chapter 4. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you're in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this?" Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions.
In Romans 8, verses 28 through 30, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. They are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory.
It's now time for the children amongst us to join Miss Brandy in the back for a Roots devotional. I would like to mention that the cards that you see seated around the auditorium are from our children through Roots, so they wish you happy Valentine's Day. At this time, I would like to invite Mr. Glenn Langston up for his message.
Still not used to these things. Wow, I didn't recognize you with a mask. Sorry. It is more than a joy to be here, and I'm afraid you'll have to forgive me. Paul did this, and I don't pretend for a second to be anything like he was, but he did digress a little bit at times, and he said, "You'll have to excuse me for this." You know, the Lord has allowed us to be on the mission field for 50 years. And God willing, we'll be talking about God's providence in our lives. Many of you know it better than I do, recognize it better than I do. But I just want to think back to the time that I came here when I was a teenager. I was involved in all sorts of hobbies. I was the only one that probably wiped out my own football team because I ran the wrong way when they said tackle. And I don't know anything about it. I tell people I don't know a home down from a touch up, but you know, I don't really follow those things. But we did all sorts of things. We swam. We over in this area was the first place I got to go ice skating, and my mom expected me to come back in a bag. And I found out later the teacher in the ninth grade had told her that I was there and I was out skating and loved it. I ended up taking lessons and I still like it, but I haven't gone in a while. And I think they still do it there at the Galleria. I think so. And so there are so many, many memories. I was, my big hobby and still is, shortwave radio, and then it became ham radio. And you know, God works in all sorts of ways. Unbelievable things have happened. We've had a chance to help with rescues. We've had a chance to help in so many areas that the Lord allows us to work in. Never, never think that God's providence is limited. It isn't. We may not always understand it, but it's there and it's working and it's active. And this church has been so active in the providence of God. We've been associated with you on the missionary field since 1971. Can you believe it? Some of you look the same as you did before to me. That's the good thing about being blind. You don't have to be concerned about that. Of course, we have our own prerequisites for recognizing people and so forth. But God has worked in the life of this church. You have gone through some severe ups and downs. And now you're going through some more because of COVID. It certainly has decimated the ranks of many churches. But on the other hand, it has also made some opportunities. How many people would not have been able to hear the gospel if it wasn't for online? You know, when I began in 1963, it was only the radio, the telephone, telegraph, so forth. And that can go down very quickly. That's why we do a lot of ham radio and we do a lot of drills for when there are hurricanes and tornadoes and other disasters that we can help. And one time the Lord allowed us to rescue or at least participate in the rescue of six people in a yacht on the Bahamas. God is working and this church is working. You know, God can and does use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. He's used kings, he's used prophets and others and high people of high station, but he also uses shepherds, fishermen, tax collectors, and even a little boy with only a slingshot as his agent of providence. And I just want to ask you to keep on keeping on. To remember that God is there, no matter what somebody says to you, no matter what evil may happen, because the Lord knows that there's something beyond the physical death. Physical death is a terrible tragedy. All of us have been involved with family members who died or whatever. But that is a disaster. But the greatest disaster is to die without Jesus Christ. Don't you believe it? It's true. To die without a knowledge of our Lord. And if the Lord wants to be merciful, people have asked me, will he be merciful? I don't know. I just know what he's told us to do and what we are supposed to be doing to let his glory shine, his providence come to the knowledge of others. And so today we're reading about Mordecai. Can you visualize Mordecai and that plot? And he basically just told Esther, and it was so ably read there as was Romans, just told Esther, yeah, you might think you'll get away, but you won't. And none of us will. And he inspired Esther to do what she needed to do to help save her people. I think also of Ruth, chosen. Did you know in so many of the cases, and you probably do, but God used people that had he not used them, Christ would not have come through the lineage that he did. Now, God could have done it some other way, but he did so very many things that we read about in the Old Testament so that you and I could have a Savior. From his providence in getting them where they needed to be in Egypt, from his providence in working with them. Unfortunately, they didn't always cooperate, did they? And we don't at times as well. But God's providence has worked. In Galatians, we're told that it was the right time and the right place. Lydia, God's providence, and you know most of these people. And of course, Stephen. I was looking in the book of Acts how he began, and he was wise, and he had courage, and it cost him his physical life. But even at the end, he said, "Forgive them." Now that would be hard for me to do. The stones were flying, the harm was coming bit by bit, and he still forgave. So even a person like Dorcas, she made people turn around and look to the glory of God at what she had done through God's help. Providence. You know, it's a very, it's so important for us to use and to understand that we are a part of God's providence. I can never thank you enough for all you do and have done, not just financially, that's important, but also for the prayers that you offer. Because since this ministry began in the 1971 on the mission field in Europe, 1994, the ministry to the blind and vision impaired. Those of you who have heard me probably will know this, but there's between 120 and 150 million blind and vision impaired people on the globe. There's more like 800 or 900 million that have some kind of vision problems. Our goal is to get the scriptures to as many of them as we can in their own languages. And we offer, and I have a, I call it a demonstration kit of what we offer, but I've done that a few years ago, so many of you might know, but we do offer solar-powered Bibles in about 100 languages. We also offer Braille and large print Bibles. I just got a request from Central India, from the state of Uttar Pradesh, for 64 solar talking Bibles. They will charge on the ordinary electrical mains. They'll also charge from a computer, or they'll charge from solar power. And so the Lord is working, and you are helping us to be his instruments, to be his instrument. A good friend of ours, John Clayton, talked about a place in Tennessee where there was a terrible car crash accident on the interstate. And oh, there were people and bodies and hurting and hurting and hurting and hurting. And a doctor was pacing back and forth. And he was muttering, just muttering, "My instruments, if only I had my instruments." That's what God uses to further his kingdom. You and I are his instruments. And I would urge you to not use the Bible as a paperweight on a coffee table, or don't use it as a shelf-bound book, but open it up and see the wonders that we find in it, and they were written for us as our schoolmasters. And so I won't take but just a few minutes, but I'm here for several reasons, to help you recognize that providence, and also to thank you for all that you do. Now, Anne has, we've been married now, what, 52 years? I think that's right. And I met her, as I've said to you before, on a blind date. She didn't know she was getting the real thing. But she has been a person that has guided. It's so much safer for you if she drives me, you know? It really, I mean, the only thing I get to drive is bumper cars, and then I'm the only one going around the wrong way. But when we begin to recognize God's providence, it will also help us to recognize God's power. And I remember so many godly people that taught us, that worked with us. I wasn't the nicest teenager. I'd throwing balloons full of water, all kinds of things at cars. But we had people who were with us. I'm thinking of, and Betty, I've told Betty this before, we were always afraid of Earl. He was just as gentle as a lamb, but we didn't know it. It's probably better that we didn't. But we respected him. And, you know, I remember Harold Bannister. I remember, of course, Nelson, who is still here, that helped us. Nelson was so brave that he even sold me a car. But, you know, who else did God use in his providence? He used John the Baptizer. And what was his purpose? To bring people to repentance. And I want to ask you a question as we begin to wind down. Who was your John the Baptizer? Did you have anyone in your life? It could have been your mother, your father, your grandmother. To me, it was my grandmother in many ways that brought you the message. Who was it? Was it a good friend? Who was your John the Baptizer? Just think about that. And then we think of another person in God's providence, and that's Barnabas. Barnabas brought Paul, when he was unbringable, to the Christians. They did not want to receive him. They said, how could this be? But they learned, I don't know if it's Houston sinus or whatever, but he introduced, this might not work. He introduced Paul. I got a bit of water. Irish whiskey, no. This was not planned. I've been using the voice a lot. Maybe it's catching up. But we find that the apostle, thank you, hopefully we'll be ready. Okay. We find that the apostle would have had a far more difficult time if it had not been for Barnabas. We find that the New Testament and the Old Testament, they're replete with examples of God's providence. But then finally, the apostle Paul basically wants to know what we're going to do with the knowledge of that providence in 2 Timothy 2:2. When he said, what you've heard from me in the presence of faithful witnesses, be able to pass along to others who can also pass it along. You see, I don't know that we understand it really, but the church can be lost in one generation if we don't bring the message and keep the message going. And so, what would you call God's providence? Well, so many people think providence is only the capital of Rhode Island, don't they? But providence to me means God getting someone where he wants them, when he wants them there, and to do what he has planned for them to do. Is it always good? No. You know, I would be an absolute fool, more foolish than I am, if I said to you everything that happens is good. It isn't. Our world is a broken world. Most of our crises that we're going through our moral crisis. You can almost narrow down everything to a moral crisis, be it war, be it greed, be it money, be it so forth. Get yours now. So you know what I'm talking about. Most of it can be categorized as a moral crisis, and God leads us away from that. But I think it's so important for us to realize that God's timetable is not ours. Peter says it. It's not 1,000 days. 1,000 days is like a 1,000 years like a day like 1,000 years, and so forth. And we go on, and God's timetable is not ours. That's one thing that helps us recognize God's providence. Another thing that I think will help us is that we are to study, not to be saved, but because we are saved and we want to understand God's will. Also, another thing is to draw closer to God, and we will understand his providence better. I'm going to close with a poem, and I've probably gone well over time. I haven't seen anyone walk out, but anyway. This little poem, and I don't think I've used it here before, and I think it shows us that God is the weaver, and you know, he uses us as his loom. And the poem tells us, behind our lives the weaver stands, and he works his wondrous will. We leave it in his all-wise hands and trust his matchless skill. Our hands and threads in blindness spin, no self-determined plan leaves in or weaves in. The shuttle of an unseen power works out a pattern that's not ours. Not till our the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly. Will we understand the purpose nor comprehend the why? For you see, the dark threads were as useful in the weaver's skillful plan as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern which he planned. God has us in his providence, in us in his care. It may not always be what we want, but he knows best. I love to close with this. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love him? Tell others about him. Bring them to him also. He died for them. Thank you very much for having me. I always love coming here. God be with you in every single way.
Can we bring up the slide? I love to tell the story of amazing things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell a story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all my golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me. And that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell a story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and his love.
Glenn, thank you for your words of encouragement this morning. I know this family loves you dearly, and we are honored to know you because you're an instrument of his grace. And we will continue to support you and pray for all of those that you become their hands and feet to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray for us for the Lord's table, and then whoever would feel moved to help serve the Lord's feast this morning, if you would please approach, and I will get some hand sanitizer that I left at the seat, but I'll get it momentarily. Father God, we're in awe of your mercy and grace. We are thankful for this Lord's Day and the many intricacies within it. Most of all, we thank you for your Son who died upon the cross so that we may have a relationship with you as your family. You have adopted us into your glory and have provided us with a future in your inheritance. We ask that you give us this day our daily bread and also the cup of your righteousness. In your name we pray, amen.
Good morning. I guess there's no escaping the news that the Super Bowl game is today. And some of you are looking forward to the game. Some may be looking forward to the commercials and the halftime show. And some might be looking forward to the Puppy Bowl, which is my favorite. But it is a big day. Everybody knows about Super Bowl. But it's important to remember that this is also the day for the Super Bowl of Caring. In 1990, the Super Bowl of Caring began with a simple prayer from a single youth group. Lord, even as we enjoy the Super Bowl football game, help us be mindful of those without a bowl of soup to eat. Since that day in 1990, more than $170 million has been raised for local charities across the country through the Super Bowl of Caring. It has become a powerful movement that is transforming the time around the big game into the nation's largest celebration of giving. Southwest Central has participated in this program for 17 years now, and all of our donations go directly to Bray's Interfaith Ministries, our neighborhood food and clothing pantry. And I do want to mention that of the members of the Bray's organization, although we are probably the smallest or one of the smallest congregations, our giving is the most generous. Year after year, you all have been very generous in supporting this. In a few minutes, you'll have the opportunity to participate again. Jessica mentioned earlier about the soup pots. You can put your donation to Super Bowl along with your regular donation. And I just wanted to give you a very brief update on Bray's Interfaith because we haven't been talking about it very much. They are going strong, continuing to go strong. They have been open all through the pandemic, except for some brief periods where they didn't have enough staff to remain open, but they've continued to support the neighborhood in this time of need. A little bit again, I'm gonna repeat some of the logistics. If you write a check, make it out to Southwest Central Church, not to Super Bowl or Bray's. If you've already written it, don't worry about it. It'll get there. Let's see. I had some other notes here. Okay. Use these little envelopes. You can write check off. It's for Bray's Interfaith. Or on, if you write a check, you can put in the memo section, Bray's Interfaith. Cash, we can take cash. And if you want to, you can also give online. If you do that, be sure you send an email back to the church because the notes that are on there that where you can put comments as where do you want it to go, they don't always get passed on. They don't seem to be doing it now. Yeah, they used to, but just to be sure it goes to where you want it to go. And I guess that's it. I thank you in advance for your generosity.
I'm now going to take the opportunity to pray over offering. Mr. Glenn is going to come around with the soup pot, and then I would also like to ask for another volunteer as my husband's holding our sleeping child. Father God, your amazing and your abundance of giving is clear within our lives every single day, from major themes to the people that we interact with, through our occupations, through our callings, to the very minor details, the ability to drink a sip of water, to eat, to sleep. You're an amazing God, and I ask that that abundance of giving is transferred to us as your children. In your name we pray, amen.
because he gave his everything. He came to live again. He came to be our comforting King and friend. He came to heal and show the lost ones his love. He came to go prepare a place for us. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. Because he gave his everything. Alleluia. Alleluia.
I'm going to review our family matters for today, and then I'm going to invite our brother Steve up to conclude family matters, and then we will have a prayer of blessing over Mr. Glenn and Miss Ann Langston, provided by Larry. The Sunny Glen Children's Home is doing its circulation of picking up donated items. This month, they are requesting the following items: Clorox wipes, vegetable oil, children's medicine, and crackers and other salty snacks for the children. This rotation's pickup will happen on March 8th and March 9th. Thursday Bible class happens this every Thursday afternoon, or in the morning, 10:30 a.m. Sorry, nursing 24-hour schedule. I get a little bit confused. And it's provided via Zoom link. If you need the Zoom link, you can ask or email Mr. King to get that. This morning's Bible classes, we have several around the building. In the Roots room, we have our preschool class. Our elementary age children are in room 108. The teens are in the teams rooms upstairs with me, much to their dismay, and King as well. The adults, room 106, are studying the book of Philippians. In room 101, we also have an adult class, Ezra and Nehemiah. And then our third adult class happens right here in the auditorium, Deuteronomic history. And one that's very near and dear to my heart, the prayer team in the prayer room.
Many of you have heard by now of the passing Thursday a week ago of our sister Royanna Powell. I'm pleased that Charles is with us today and able to share this time with us. Royanna, after she got her teaching degree from Abilene, came here to teach school and spent her whole life teaching children. She's been a part of this community longer than I have, and that's a pretty good long time. One of her desires was that in her illness, she had ovarian cancer, that toward the end she wanted it all kept quiet. She did not want visitors at the hospital. She did not want a funeral. And so she wanted everything kept within the family until after a memorial service was held, which was held on Wednesday. So those wishes were honored. And I asked Charles on Wednesday, when can we let the church know? And he said, now. So Charles, we share your loss with you. We loved Royanna. She was a vital part of us. She taught our children. Anytime we talked about feeding, U of H feeding at Impact, she was the first to volunteer. And we are thankful to God for her life.
Let's pray. Dear God, we are grateful for your work that you have done in Glenn and Ann's life. Father, we're thankful for the call that you gave, and Father, for the part that this congregation had in giving that call. And Father, we are deeply thankful for his faithfulness in responding to it and remaining with it for 50 years. That's an incredible length of time. And Father, we pray that you would continue to bless him as he moves forward. Father, he spoke to us of your providence. And Father, I pray that providence to be manifest in his life in a special way as he continues on in his work. Father, may you provide for all the needs that he has, whether they be spiritual, financial, or whatever. Father, I pray for the grace that he will get to experience the harvest of the seeds that he is sowing. And Father, I pray that you would lead people who are seeking you around the globe. Father, may his voice reach out, whether it be in over the airwaves or, Father, whether it be over the internet. Father, may you connect Glenn to the people who need to hear about Jesus. And Father, thank you for the technology that he's been able to master to make that happen. Father, we would be remiss if we do not include our other missionary in this prayer, Father, for Reggie. Reggie was diagnosed with COVID this week, and Father, we pray for her as she battles that illness. We pray for a light case. Father, she's a lone soldier on a very difficult front. Father, may you not only lift her failing body, but also her spirits. And may she too be graced with the experience of the harvest for the seeds that she is sowing. Father, as we go forth, continue to protect and provide for Glenn and Ann. We pray these things in the Son, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless y'all.
Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, Glenn. Mm-hmm. You step right there. You're back at the
I would just mention that if anyone wants to know about the products we have, you know, I'm here to help. And please pray for those who have been baptized. We had four more that were baptized. One blind lady taught a sighted person. And it's really the spiritual blindness that God is concerned with, you know. I just want to thank you again. And I love this at the 2 Corinthians 13:13. We don't often hear it in churches of Christ. I think we should hear it more. And this is my blessing through the scriptures to you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you.
I know where my friend shopping center is. Yeah.
It's on the south side closest to the range.
Okay.
If you just get into the Highland shopping center,
okay.
Go to the left, find the restaurant.
Okay.
The store is the first one. Cafe Express.
Cafe Express. Okay.
Cafe Express.
Okay. Excellent.
That's
great. So it's all crazy.
We'll be there, not now, but.
Yeah.
We leave by we leave here around 12-ish or whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
And
okay.
So the address would be on Braidwood, right?